And welcome to Perfect Timing Podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Chalamet, and today I have the beautiful writer, producer, director, and dancer with me today, Anna Ambucci. Hi, Anna, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm so excited to get another performer with me today and just seeing what that's like in your world. So I'm really excited to start this conversation.
Yes, same.
Anna Ambucci is a 12-year-old Kenyan-American artist, actress, writer, producer, director, and dancer. Anna's love for the arts began at the tender age of 3 years old when she would perform to her dolls by either dancing or reenacting her entire day from preschool. It was from there where it became clear that she was destined to be in the entertainment industry. Her extrovert personality landed her TV commercial credit with clients such as Build-A-Bear Workshop, American Girl Doll, BuzzFeed, AARP, Ready Whip, Academy Sports Outdoors, and YMCA. At 11 years old, Anna landed her first TV role as the smart and sassy Stacey Smith in the hit show The Chi on Showtime. It was also during this time that Anna wrote, produced, and directed a short film based on her bullying experience titled Made in His Image and accepted into 12 national film festivals and made its international debut during the Cannes Film Festival Diversity and Cannes Short Film Showcase. Anna has been able to use her film Made in His Image to speak to kids at local nonprofit organizations and public schools to encourage them to spread love, stick up for others who are being bullied, and support one another. Anna is currently mentoring over 30 young Black girls with the Saving Our Daughters organization and is also an active member of the African Artists Association and Young Artists Academy. She believes she is being used for a purpose that is bigger than her. Anna lives by the motto that her dreams are valid, which is something that I really personally love. So I love your bio, Anna. You're just so experienced and so talented. And I'm so excited for today's conversation.
Thank you.
So you were just so bright and self-aware, and it's amazing because of your age. What has been your experience with colorism? I think that's something that you've been experiencing for quite some time. So why don't you just talk to us about that?
Yeah, well, colorism is a discrimination against someone with the same racial group. And it was basically what I was going through where my friends who looked exactly like me were making fun of my dark skin complexion. And on top of that, for me being part Kenyan, and they were basically teasing me and making me feel less important. And I didn't understand why, because, you know, these were my friends, or so I thought. And, you know, I didn't think I was not worth being in this world, but worth being in that school. I didn't feel like I had a purpose in life. I just felt lonely and sad. And my grades started slipping from A's to D's. And I started, because, you know, I'm an extrovert, as you said in my bio, and I totally just became like quiet, and, you know, I didn't have confidence anymore, and I lost my courage, and I just lost myself. And when I was getting bullied, I really wanted, you know, after I told my mom about me getting bullied, I didn't tell her till like 2 years later, is then when I really started to understand, well, this is not really like, what type of bullying is this? And then I did my own research about it, and I realized that it's colorism. And I also realized that colorism happens a lot against the African-American community. We separate ourselves by light skin group and dark skin group, like team hashtag light skin and team hashtag dark skin. And we don't come together as one and realize that we can be one team and not separate teams.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. And like you said, this kind of stuff happens everywhere. People saying like, oh, like her skin is so dark, but like, in reality, her skin is angelic. It's beautiful. It's melanin. Yeah. It's gorgeous and stunning. And like, you know, light skins, like myself being a brown skin and you being a beautiful dark skin, it's just so hard to see that even as in this African-American community, we are all being oppressed and just separated so much. Like, why tear each other down even more? And it's like beautifying and romanticizing the wrong things about ourselves. And like, we're almost start objectifying ourselves, and we're seeking that justice, but we're still doing it to ourselves. So I think realizing that is really important. And again, for your age, that's just so impressive for you to recognize that and be like, this isn't right. Like, change needs to happen right now, right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what inspired you to share your story and to make this beautiful short film?
Well, after I told everyone about my bullying story, I just started writing my story down in my journal. I just like wrote it down. Like, I was just like, let me just write this down, clear my head. And I had no plan of sharing my story. Like, it was just going to sit in my journal so that years to come, I would look back and like, wow, this was what happened to me. But then I went to an acting lesson with my coach, Ms. Josie Harris Thacker. And there was this book on her bookshelf called Dark Girls, written by Bill Duke. And I was like, what is this book? And she's like, oh my gosh, you have to read this book because of the situation that you're in. So I was like, okay. So I took the book home and I read it, and I just like couldn't put the book down because I didn't realize how like even famous people went through what I went through. And I just felt like if famous people go through that, then there's more people like me who went through it too. So I was just like, I need to share my story to inspire young dark girls like me. And I was just like, you know what? I want to write my story into a film. And that's when I had to streamline my story a little bit, because I was going to tell my whole entire story and make it like a feature film. But I had to like streamline it a little bit. But the book Dark Girls was what really inspired me and encouraged me to really put my story out there.
That's amazing. And I'm glad that you're able to let your story be heard, because some people are like, well, some people already have a story that's kind of like mine. But it's like, well, even then, like, there still needs to be more of it. And like this colorism conversation, not many people are talking about it. And you're able to share some light on it and be like, I'm this young and I'm already experiencing colorism. Like, why am I getting discriminated because of the tone of my skin? And it's just for you to be able to say that, I want this to be heard, I want this to be known, is just really, really impressive.
Thank you.
How did it feel when your film, Made in His Image, was accepted into multiple national film festivals? Like, did you think that would happen?
No. My plan for the film was to put it in schools and organizations and to really start those conversations in those areas, because, you know, I got bullied in a school, so I really wanted the schools to, you know, watch the film. But because of the title, Made in His Image, it reference towards God, and you know, not everybody believes in God in the public school system, so it was kind of like distract a little bit. I was able to show it to some schools and a lot of organizations, but my intention was not for film festivals. It really wasn't. And then when me and my mom started submitting to film festivals and they got accepted and started winning awards, we were like, man, God took my vision, like, because my vision was like so small and he made it like so big. Like, he's like, no, I'm gonna take you to France and you're gonna make this film like a worldwide film. And that was just like not expected for me at all. So no, I never expected it to be in film festivals.
Yeah, again, super impressive. And you know, if we were made to be here for a reason, and if it was accepted and it got accepted over and over and over again, it must mean God has something planned, you know what I mean? And it's just so, again, inspiring to see that you didn't just stop at your notebook. You wanted to say, I want this story to go out and be heard, and look what came out of it. You're basically a celebrity. So, and I implore you to keep doing what you're doing. And I'm just so impressed by your work ethic and all of the things that went into this film. So how did you like come up with the title? Because I've never seen like a short film like with something directed to God this way. And I wanted to applaud you, because like you said, in public schools, like, not many people believe in God and things like that, but you were able to take that risk and say, I still think this message needs to be heard. So what made you pick that title, even though it is about God? Like, what made you pick that title?
Yeah, so the film was finally written. I had my coach, Ms. Josie Harris-Thacker, help me with it. And I had so many titles. It was like, Loving Me, Loving Yourself. Like, it was just like something around that area. And then I had a call with my aunt, my very close aunt. And she was like, well, what do you want people to get out of this message? And I was like, well, I want people to know that they are wonderfully and beautifully made in God's image. And then she was like, there you go. And I was like, what? Made in His Image. And then from there on, I was like, yes, that is the title. That is exactly it. And that's basically how I got my title, because I knew my message, but I just didn't know my title around it. And it was just when my aunt finally clicked that in my mind. I was like, that's it. And that's how I want it to be.
That's really funny that you say that, because that's kind of how my title, Perfect Timing, came around. I was just like, I feel like this is perfect time to do this. And my mom was like, that's it. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have a title, you guys. And so, yeah, it's just really exciting, especially when it all comes together. And again, like, having an intricate title like that makes people want to click on it. And like, you could have just titled it like Colorism, point blank.
Yep.
And going into it, people are going to know what it was about. But you decided to open up that box a little more and let ideas flow on what the short film could be about. So when people did watch it, it was just like, wow, like, we are made in his image. And like, this young girl is going through something like colorism, and she made it beautiful. So that's just really impressive. And I'm just so happy again that you were able to share your story.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Of course. In your opinion, what qualities do you think film directors should have in order to be successful?
Qualities is persistence. A lot of filmmakers give up when it gets too hard and they don't believe in themselves enough to know that. Because I could have gave up when the schools like rejected my film, but I kept going and I had persistence, and I was just like, no, there's going to be a way where this film will be shown. And it was shown. And I think also another quality for a filmmaker is, you know, treating everyone with kindness. I think like the behind the scenes is so important. People forget that the behind the scenes is really what makes a family, what makes a connection. And like, when your film does become as great as it is, people will support you because they remembered how great of a person you were behind the scenes. And I also feel like a great quality for a filmmaker is, yes, you could do those fluffy, funny type of stuff that everybody loves to watch, but also make sure that your content is also worth the importance of watching, like something that nobody wants to talk about, those uncomfortable conversations that people like to put aside. I feel like the best filmmakers are the filmmakers that really be pushing you as an individual. And when you watch their film, you realize, like, man, I did that when I was younger. Man, I should be a better person because of X, Y, and Z. So I feel like the best filmmakers are people who are persistent, people who are great behind the scenes.
Definitely. Someone that I had in mind when you were talking about that is Shonda Rhimes. Like, her writing.
Yes.
Amazing. Like, her show, the show that she was writing, Grey's Anatomy. I love Grey's Anatomy. And the reason why it was so successful, they're on season 17 right now, is because Shonda Rhimes fought for things to be seen on television that wasn't being shown yet. And that show started like a while ago, I believe like 2004 or 5. And she was able to fight for representation on TV and letting things be shown and seen, like, you know, like LGBT plus communities, like letting that be shown out onto television. And she fought for that. And you're doing the same thing with Made in His Image. You were saying colorism isn't talked about enough, so I'm going to make this story my own and share it with other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank you so much, Anna. I'm enjoying our conversation so much. You're so articulate and special, and I'm just really enjoying our conversation this far. But we will be right back after this break.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Charlotte Van Horn with Locks Forever. I'm extending an invitation to you to check out our new podcast, Sisters Talking Natural Hair and Business. This is a high energy, keeping it real and relevant podcast for natural hair enthusiasts, service providers, and business owners. We will talk about everything from tender heads to how to build a tough natural hair business. If you're starting a natural hair business, this is the podcast for you. It's informative, fun, with a twist of humor, inspiration, and feeling of sitting around the table talking with your best friends. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. You will not be disappointed.
This is Sydney Chalene, and I'm so excited to share with you my international podcast, Perfect Timing, that will be broadcasted on Mondays at 2 p.m. through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so much more. We will have outstanding guests that will talk about their passions, goals, and dreams. Make sure you tune in and have a seat at the table where we will create a voice for us every Monday at 2 p.m. This is Sydney Collins of Perfect Timing.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, I am here with Anna Ambucci, the amazing writer, actress, and everything in between. And let's just keep going with this conversation. So do you prefer to work independently or with others?
I prefer to work with others because it's great to have other people's opinions and other people's insights. And it makes you a better director, a better writer, a better filmmaker. It makes you basically a better person to collaborate. So I personally like working with others because I feel like it also can create some sort of connection because like they help you with your stuff. You can help them with their stuff and you can, you know, make them a better filmmaker. So.
Yeah, I agree. That's like the same thing with like authors and writers. Like they're like, here, read this. And they put it in front of your face and you read it. And then they give you their input. And that's how you become better. So having that other perspective, I think I can relate to you on that. It's just something that I've always valued because it just made me a better host and a better person and character-wise and all that. What is something that you would like to see more of in films? I know we talked about colorism, but is there any other topics that you think we should shed more light on?
I just feel like all of the isms, like sexism, featureism. I just feel like the isms are the issue right now because it's all related to racism. It's all in the same thing. They just deal with different types of, you know, of a Black person, which is kind of true. And I just feel like Black representation is also need to be more seen. Like Ava DuVernay, she does such a great job with Black representation. And I feel like we need more of that. And we need more of like, you know, stories that everybody needs to hear, not just white people, like every single ethnic group needs to hear these stories and understand why Black people are out here crying for equality and for justice. There's a reason for it. And, you know, we feel like we're not important enough. So I feel like, you know, those topics are also need to be seen in, you know, the TV.
I agree. And you've made me think of Cicely Tyson. By the time this goes out, it'll be a little bit past then, but she fought for the representation and for the demand to see Black people in movies and TV shows. And she was just such like someone that just led the way and like paved the path for everyone else. And 96 years old, and she was just a queen at it. And we can all look up to her and say, thank you for making us feel accepted and wanted in this industry. And now I'm happy to say that in almost every movie and TV show I've ever watched recently, there's a lot more representation. We still have some ways to go, but I still see that that growth is happening and she was able to pave that path for us.
Yeah, may she rest in peace. Mm-hmm.
So take me through the process of directing your own short films. What are like the pros and cons?
Oh, okay. The pros would be, like, it was fun to finally know what it's like to be a director. Cause you know, I'm always in front of the camera. I'm always the actress. So when I was a director, it really gave me some sort of other side of, you know, being a filmmaker, because I always thought, oh, the important ones are in front of the camera. No, it's the behind the scenes one that really makes the movie or the TV show. And another pro would just be the community that I had when I made Manny's Image. Everybody did it for free. Like they didn't have to, but they did it because they believed in the message and they believed what story I was telling and they were encouraging me. So I feel like the community behind it was so amazing and so great, and I just felt so much love. And also, oh, I guess, no, the con would, one of the cons would be like, it was so hard finding the main character. Like, it was really so hard. Like, the amount of auditions we had to do to find someone like me was like really hard. And once we saw the self-tape from Alaya Woods, who played me in the film, we saw her monologue, and I was just like, that is it. And I was like, I need to bring her in Chicago to read my script. And she nailed it out of the park. And then I was like, this is the person I want to tell my story. And then when I chose her, I was so glad I chose her because she was exactly like me. You could, like, if we were together, you'd say we look like twins. Like, she was exactly like me. I was just like, yes, I found the right person, but it was so hard finding her. It was like towards the end of our auditioning process when we finally found her. And I think another con for me was like, I don't know how I did it, but God was on my side. I had school and I had to wake up at 5 in the morning. Like, it was some long, hard days, and I still had to do my schoolwork, but I was able to do it. And I mean, I feel like that's a pro and a con, that one right there. Yeah, I think everything else was all pros. I think those were the only two cons. But other than that, everything was all pros, and I would love to be on set again and do. And I am creating more projects, and you will see more projects from me in the future. Will be more on a bigger and better scale of colorism. But I just feel like when I was on set of Made in His Image, I knew I was steering the boat because, it was my project, and it was so easy for me to steer the boat because I had such great people on set with me.
That's so impressive. Your work ethic and like professionalism, top tier. The bar is set, you guys. You guys need to be with Anna. Like, it's so amazing to see someone for your age put in this kind of energy that you would expect from like a top director. And you're representing it so well at such a young age. And like you said, finding the right person. When you do a story like that, you want to be able to represent this who the story is about well. You want to find the right person and not just pick anybody. And for you to be a part of the casting process is just also, I'm sure it was really helpful because you're able to go through each and every single person and say, do I see myself in them and can they represent me well? And you're just able to find that. And I'm really glad that you did because you're able to make a beautiful short film and she just represented you so well.
And it was easy for her too, because during that time she was going through bullying too, and it was just like the film was like a breakaway for her to like really just like release out all of her emotions. And that's when I was just like, I picked the right person because I know that she's going to deliver what happened to her, and I know that she is going to, dig down that pain that I went through. And when I was having conversations with her, I saw me in her a lot, and we helped each other during that time, so.
I'm really glad that you guys were able to connect. It only makes the film more special and important. So, as young girls say, we are a part of the now movement. How do you feel about that, and what impact do you want to leave on young aspiring girls that look up to you?
I think what it means, like, we are the now movement is like we are the change makers. Like, we are the ones that are making history. We're the ones going to protest and marching for our freedom. And we're the ones speaking out on not like on social media and creating organizations that really talk about Black people and their and how, we're fighting for our freedom. So, and I feel like it means that we are the new future, and making sure that when it's time for us to have kids or our kids' kids, that, they would know that their grandparents, paved the way so that they could be where they are today. And I feel, oh, and my message for the dark-skinned Black girls is know that, that Black is beautiful, and you don't have to be light-skinned to be beautiful. You are already beautiful. And not just for the Black girls too, the dark-skinned Black girls. I feel like, everybody else should know that they are uniquely and wonderfully made in God's image, and that they are special and unique and significant and smart. I feel like everybody needs to know that, because, people forget that it's just not African Americans who go through colorism. It's Indians or Asians and Hispanics who go through it too. And they go through it much harder than we do. And I feel like they need, you know, some loving and some care too. So I feel like those are also my messages for them too.
Again, I'm in like in awe of like your presence and just like your professionalism. Like you're sitting here like this. I'm literally melting in your words because you're so impressive and just wonderful and beautiful. And I hope my listeners can accept that and see that out of you as well. You're just so well put together, and the story and the movement and the way that you want to set things, us Gen Zers here, we just want change because people are like, I just want things to go back to normal. I'm like, well, normal was terrible. What was normal was colorism. What was normal was attacking the LGBT plus community. And it's just something needs to happen. Change needs to happen. That's why some people don't like us Gen Zers, because we want the change. We want the difference to come. And even though it's going to take a long time and like we may not even be able to see full harmonious like togetherness in our lifetime, it's really good to know that we started it and we wanted to be seen and known that our kids' kids will be able to see that, and just be knowing that we are paving the way and we are starting the movement now is just awesome. And I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, same.
So where do you see yourself in the future with either writing, directing, or acting?
Well, honestly, I see myself doing all of it and creating more films. And also, as I said before, really talking about Black representation and really bringing out the uncomfortable conversations. But I also see my, you know, self collaborating with other, you know, important directors and actors who I know would really like bring out my films to the best of their ability. And I just see myself being, you know, if not a filmmaker, then, you know, an activist for those who need an activist in their lives. And I know that I will continue to be an activist, and I will continue to, you know, support not just Black people, but everybody, every ethnicity around the world.
Again, super impressive. The bar is set, you guys. Get to Anna's level. Something that just came to my mind, though, that I was trying to say earlier when we were talking about the pros and cons of the directing, finally came back to me. Talking about what goes in front of the camera and what goes behind the camera. I was going to say that, like, I can relate to that so much because as a ballet dancer, I am telling the story with my body. But all that storytelling and all of that choreography and all those dance moves were made by
the behind
very,
the scenes.
Very, very important people. Like, like the Nutcracker that we all know and love was created by someone who wanted to tell the story of a young girl named Clara, who like has this relationship with their Nutcracker. And they go through this whole beautiful story ballet. And yes, it's amazing to be able to create and to tell that story with ourselves. Behind the scenes, the choreography, because I've like, you know, I've had to create a few pieces myself. I'm like, this is really like something that I can make for me, like something that I want to be seen on stage. So I'm glad that we were able to relate to that, like even directing, me and choreographing and being on both sides of the spectrum is really awesome. And like the people right behind the scenes are just as important as what's being shown.
Yeah, the actors or the performers won't be as great if it weren't for the people behind the scenes.
Right. So 2020 just left us. We are into 2021. What is something that you want to leave behind in 2020 and something that you want to bring with you into this new year?
Leave behind, you know, we all go through flaws. So leave behind all the lying, all the, you know, bad behaviors and the sinfulness, and go into 2020, you know, really, for me personally, really having a strong and healthy relationship with God and really knowing that family is first, because as I realized during 2021, like family is so important, and you just have to be grateful to be able to wake up every single day and be able to have air in your lungs and have a roof over your head. So I, as I'm taking, you know, going through 2021, I really am going to step in, being more grateful, being more humble, being more thankful, and really saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were able to even let me wake up this morning. Because a lot of people died from COVID. A lot of people didn't even wake up in COVID. And a lot of people were just, you know, a lot of families were hurt. So, you know, that's what I'm going to take with me in 2021.
That's really powerful, again, for your age and realizing that I don't have to be here right now. And God gave me the chance to. And that's why I love to do what I do, because he gave me the opportunity to give people like you and like everyone else, like an opportunity to tell their story and to just be themselves in God's image. And
yes,
you represent it so well. Like, oh my goodness, I'm just like, my mom is crying. My mom is crying. Again, you're just so articulate and beautiful, and I'm just in awe of who you are.
Oh, thank you. You are so amazing and so beautiful yourself. I love all the melanin in this world.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. I'm enjoying our conversation so much. I'm just really excited to see what else is coming up for Miss Anna Ambucci. Sadly, this interview has to come to an end, but we do have some rapid fire questions. So let's get it. So if you had the opportunity to hang out with any celebrity, who would it be?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Wow.
Yes, that would be my one, because we were both Kenyan and, you know, we're both dark skin and she's such an incredible actress and I would love to hang out with her.
I love her. Your favorite movie as a kid?
Okay, don't hate me, but it was Sesame Street's first movie, Follow That Bird. I still watch it till this day.
Like, I respect it. I mean, if that's your jam. So, kittens or puppies?
Oh, puppies. I love puppies.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookie dough.
Winter or summer?
Ooh, that's a tough one. But I would like to say winter, because I like to snuggle up in my blanket and drink hot cocoa.
See, the vibes of winter are nice when you're indoors. But as soon as you step outside, I'm like, get me back in this house.
Right.
Like, and plus during the summer, we don't have school. So, but I do love the vibes that winter carries with it. But would you rather be at home, like homeschooled, or would you rather be in person for school?
I like homeschool. I like being independent and, you know, going at my own pace. So I like homeschool.
Yeah, that's always refreshing. But thank you so much, Anna, for joining me today. I've loved and just enjoyed this conversation so much, and I hope my listeners have as well. Oh, but before you go, how can my listeners support you?
All right, you can follow me and keep up with me on Instagram at AAMBUCHI, and you can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter, which is my full name, Anna Ambucci, which is spelled AnnaAmbucci. So follow me and stay tuned for what's next.
Yes, make sure you guys go watch your short film, Made in His Image. Beautiful film, tells an amazing story. And make sure you guys go support my girl on all of her socials. And thank you so much, Anna, for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, everyone, that has joined me today and listened to this amazing conversation I've had with Miss Anna. And we will see you next week for another episode of Perfect Timing. Stay warm.